In the name of our risen Lord Jesus the Christ, I want to welcome you to this time of worship and thank you for joining in wherever you may be or however you may be accessing this worship cast. As we prepare our hearts and minds to worship, the psalmist reminds us that our help is in the name of the Lord. He is the one who made the heavens and the earth. Let us worship God. Let us pray. Lord God, early in the morning when the world was young, you made life in all of its beauty and all of its awesomeness. You gave birth to all that we know. Hallowed be your name. Early in the morning, when the world least expected it, a newborn child crying in a cradle announced that you had come among us, that you were one of us. Hallowed be your name. Early in the morning, surrounded by respectable liars, religious leaders, anxious statesmen, silent and silent friends, you accepted the penalty for being God. You took our sin upon yourself. You shouldered and suffered the cross. Hallowed be your name. Early in the morning, a voice in a guarded graveyard and footsteps in the dew proved that you had risen, that you came back to those and for those who had forgotten, denied, and destroyed you. Hallowed be your name. Early in the morning, in the many-faced company of your church on earth and in heaven, we celebrate your creation, your life, your death, and your resurrection. We praise you for your interest in us, and so to you we pray, Lord, bring new life where we are worn and tired. Bring new love where we have turned hard-hearted. Bring forgiveness where we feel hurt and where we have wounded. And bring the joy and freedom of your Holy Spirit where we are the prisoners of ourselves. Friends, the proof of God's amazing love is this, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Know that when you turn to Jesus in faith and in repentance, you are forgiven by his grace. Believe the gospel and be at peace. Amen. The first hymn, which I suggest is, may surprise you at first, but hopefully you'll understand why I've chosen this one as a sermon, as we get into the sermon. In the Presbyterian Book of Praise, it's number 135, Christians Awake, Salute the Happy Morn. And there is a YouTube link on our website. And now let us turn our hearts and minds to read and to try and reflect on God's word to us as preserved for us in the Scriptures. Over the past number of weeks and even month or two, I've talked to a number of people and I've listened to multiple people describing some of their concerns about resuming public worship in our indoor sanctuaries. Apart from the fear of catalyzing another epidemic, one of the most common concerns, or maybe a better word would be the most common laments, is that in this new landscape, we won't be able to socialize. There won't be coffee hour after the service, and even mingling before the service will be limited to what you can do from your designated spot in the pew. Now, that is not an insignificant concern, because the connections and the support and even the news sharing that are found and are sought out during coffee hour or in the mingling before the formal worship begins, these are profoundly important for our sense of well-being and for the strength of God's holy community. Now, the second most voiced lament is that we won't be able to sing, at least not right away. Now, it could be that for some worshippers, that is not actually a lament, and maybe some people are even secretly relieved that we won't be singing. Nevertheless, singing is such an important expression of devotion that for many Christians, it is hardly possible to imagine worship without singing. And that lament put me in mind of Psalm 137. Now, if you remember, we studied this psalm in its entirety a few weeks ago. Today, I want to revisit it, but I only want us to consider the first six verses as we use this psalm as sort of an introduction to our new series of sermons. And so I invite you to hear the word of God as it has been preserved for us, written and preserved for us, in Psalm 137, the first six verses. Excuse me. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, and there we wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung up our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs, and our tormentors asked for mirth, saying, sing us one of those songs of Zion. How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand wither. Let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, Psalm 137 is not always an easy psalm to read. It is a lament. The psalm would have either been composed during the Israelites' time of exile in Babylon, or after the fact as they reflected on their experiences. You see, they had boasted that their God was their shield and their refuge. He was their anchor and their protector. Their God would not allow harm to befall them. And yet, here they are. The community has been disbanded. They're scattered throughout the Babylonian Empire. The holy line of the Davidic kings, of the kings who are successors from David, that holy line has been violently broken and actually insulted because Babylon planted a puppet king on the throne of Jerusalem, insulting the lineage of David. The temple has been destroyed, and the land which God had given to the Israelites as a sign of his favor upon them was gone. Now Israel is living in a foreign land. They are surrounded by foreign customs, by foreign gods, and by foreign religions. Israel is a defeated nation, and their captors won't let them forget it. Mockingly, the captors ask them to display the joy, the mirth that they had once boasted comes from living in fellowship with Yahweh. They demanded a concert of the songs they would sing in the temple. This psalm of lament oozes despair. When our experiences revealed the weaknesses in our theology, when we were separated from temple and community, when we were living among those who mocked our God, it seemed like there was no hope, like it was time to hang up our harps. How could we sing the Lord's song in this foreign land? With the challenge of the exile, as the stories were recorded in Scripture and the community of faith reflected on the experience of exile all the way through to the present age, we realize that the challenge of seasons of exile, and indeed the call of the prophets, was for Israel to learn to do just that, to learn to sing the Lord's song even when they were cut off from the temple and the altar. Now, related to the laments over socializing and singing, there is another theme I've heard expressed over the past number of weeks. I've heard this theme from people who have little or no connection with the church. I've also heard it from longtime faithful members of the body of Christ. And I've even heard it for myself. With the talks of what's going to be happening in the fall and all of the fears and all of the laments comes through despair. Such despair is often asked or expressed as a question. When will life get back to normal? Or even, will life ever get back to normal? There is a longing to return to how life was only a handful of months ago. To go back to Jerusalem, the golden age of life before the exile, of life before COVID. Now, such questions suggest that what we are living with now is not normal. Masks, thinking twice before visiting friends or family, avoiding crowded parks and grocery stores, debating whether or not you would join or remain separated from the worshiping communities, and even accepting the fact that when congregated worship resumes, even if you choose to attend it, it won't be the same as it once was. All of these and more are some of the features of the foreign land in which we have been living for some time and likely will be for some time to come. Life under the cloud of pandemic is now normal. Now, such realization can lead us to despair, to a sense that it's time to hang up our harps. I have to confess that over the last few weeks, I've caught myself wondering that very same question. All of my theology about the gathering in of God's people into one community, the shepherd gathering his flock together, that seems to be wrong in this context. Even when we gather for worship, not everyone will be able to attend because we have seating restrictions. Such realizations can lead us to despair, and coupled with despair, fear. Fear of another epidemic. Fear of what will happen when COVID collides with the flu. Fear that schools will be closed again. Fear of the long-term consequences of the COVID protection measures on the mental and emotional health of our children, and even on the process of education. There's fear that businesses will go bankrupt if we are forced into another shutdown. Now, these concerns are real. The financial repercussions are serious, and the emotional effects can be crippling. As if we didn't have enough with which to be concerned before, especially for those of us within the church, with all of the issues surrounding the church before COVID came along, the pandemic has thrown us into a very strange landscape which threatens, if we allow it, to leave us in despair. Which prompts then the question, is it even possible to sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? We're not the first generation to deal with a hardship. It may be the first time many of us have had to deal with a hardship of this type. But we're not the first generation to have lived through tough times. And as disciples of Jesus have done in every generation before us, we look to the Messiah for answers. because no one has sung the Lord's song more fully and more faithfully than he. And no one has indeed experienced the strangeness of a foreign land more than he. At least once a year, we hear these well-known words. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. The child that was born in Bethlehem, to parents who were not even afforded the sanctuary of a cot in a motel room, had entered into a very strange land, because that child was God living in a human land. Jesus exiled himself from the heavenly realms. Jesus left the glory of heaven and the perfect fellowship with the Father and the Holy Spirit so that we might have life and that we might have it abundantly. Jesus taught a way of life that takes seriously the fragility of our human existence, that takes seriously the onslaught of illness and how something that we cannot even see, like a germ or a virus, can render us incapable. Jesus taught a way of life that takes seriously the effects of sin on our fragile bodies, our minds, our souls, and even within our communities. The way of life Jesus taught takes seriously the temptations that are embedded in power and politics. It takes seriously our need for food, for purposeful work, and for rest. And yet, Jesus taught a way of life that also transcends that fragility through faith in the presence and the ability of the living God, who creates, redeems, and provides for life itself. Whether we gather in pews on Sunday morning or tune in to hear God's word read and taught either online or in print or on television, whether we sing in chorus or privately at home, whether we are in class in a bricks and mortar school or trying to learn online or through homeschooling, whether we are working or whether we are laid off, we are the body of Christ. Through the body of Christ, by the Holy Spirit who still speaks to our souls through the Word of God, our Lord is working out his good purpose in the world. You see, disciples of Jesus have therefore a profound gift to offer our neighbors, a gift of hope and a gift of assurance that even with masks on our face and an invisible 6-foot fence around us, life is worth the living because Jesus forgave sin on the cross and he transcends our fragile humanness in his resurrection. By his ascension, he continues to intercede on our behalf. And in the Holy Spirit, He indwells our souls in ways that we can't explain. So yes, by God's grace alone, it is possible to sing the Lord's song in this foreign land. So now, if we can accept that proclamation of faith, the next question to ask is, how, then, can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? One way, as we touched on last Sunday, and that is to recognize that God now, perhaps more than ever in recent memory, has entrusted the wealth of his kingdom to us. He's entrusted his talents to us. He's entrusted his creation, his word, his grace, his people to us. You can sing the Lord's song by discerning which talents God has entrusted to you and using your abilities to promote those talents, to build up the church, and to provide testimony for others. Now, another way is by changing the tune. See, Scripture never ignores or belittles suffering. The prayers of lament teach us to be honest when things aren't the way God intends them to be. At the same time, laments never forget or mock the hope of faith. It is good to lament, provided that in the process we remember the promises of Jesus and begin to change the tune with thanksgiving. That is faith, where we can accept the realities of our situation and recognize in the midst of it that God is still at work and come to a place of thanksgiving. The lament of Psalm 137 is sandwiched between two such prayers of thanksgiving. Some scholars argue that the only sacrifice from the Old Testament that wasn't rendered obsolete with the coming of the Messiah is the sacrifice of thanksgiving. The central Christian religious act alongside of baptism is the sacrament that is sometimes called Holy Communion, but more properly called the Eucharist, which is a Greek word which means thanksgiving. There are few, if any, New Testament letters that don't begin by giving thanks to God. So giving thanks to the Lord is the tune by which we sing the Lord's song in spite of our present circumstances. And for the next 4 weeks, from now until Thanksgiving, Harvest Thanksgiving, that will be our song. We'll look at the sort of the sacrificial aspects of giving thanks. We'll look at the specificity that is needed to give thanks with integrity and in a way that transforms our souls. We'll consider the benefits of giving thanks for our own souls and the benefits that such acts have for the community. We'll look as well at liturgical acts of thanks, such as prayer and the sacraments. And then on October 11th, we'll sing the great Amen with a celebration of the Harvest Thanksgiving. So giving thanks to the Lord helps us remember that even in the darkest of valleys, our shepherd is with us, comforting, correcting, and guiding us with his rod and staff. Giving thanks to the Lord fuels the light that burns in our souls, revealing for others that there is a living God, and there is a way of living that transcends our momentary struggles. And if that's not reason enough, psychologists have found correlations between the act of giving thanks and stronger immune systems, lower blood pressure, more effective sleep, less intense loneliness, and more gracious communities. And so as we embark into the foreign land that awaits us this fall, let us give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we give you thanks that you give light and hope. We pray for those who face lives filled with darkness, who suffer in body, mind, and spirit, who are bent under burdens of sorrow, and who cannot see the way ahead. We pray for those who accompany others in dark times and places, for those who comfort the grieving and work for healing and new possibilities. May all these find their darkness transformed by your presence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, we give you thanks that you bring liberation and justice. We pray for those who suffer abuse, violence, or injustice at the hands of powerful people or forces in their lives. We pray for those who have been betrayed by people who are entrusted with their care. Stir in all people a deep respect for life. Encourage those who struggle for freedom and work for truth to be heard and reconciliation achieved. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, we give you thanks that in you we know peace and promise. We pray for those who work for peace in the world, for leaders and decision makers, for those who hold power and can make a difference in their communities, and for those who make, interpret, and enforce laws. Awaken a respect for the needs of the most vulnerable, including the earth and all its fragile balances. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, we give you thanks that through your Spirit and your Word, you give wisdom and understanding. We pray for those who misunderstand the words and actions of others, and for those who are misunderstood. We pray for those who teach and those who learn, especially those who are struggling and are afraid to ask for help. In this challenging school year, guide teachers and students in new patterns of learning, and keep each one safe and healthy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, we give you thanks for your steadfast love by which you came to die for us, by which you died for us to rise for us, by which you rose for us to give forgiveness and reconciliation. We pray for those we have hurt or offended, and for those to whom we have been unkind. We pray for those who have hurt us or been careless with our feelings. Work in our lives to redeem broken relationships. Shape us into gracious and forgiving people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Our closing hymn is number 422, Sing a New Song Unto the Lord. Or there are two suggestions of YouTube of videos done by other artists on our website. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the love of the Father in heaven be with you throughout this day and into all the days that follow. Amen.